Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Primarily what I'm talking about tonight, though, is within the confines of the church, because I am amazed at how churches are all over and have been for a long time seem to be in this cycle of conflict. There's just a cycle of conflict. And I know that whenever you have people, you're going to have issues. There's going to be conflict. Now, I just want to preface everything before I get started tonight. Then you need to know this. I'm not addressing any conflict in this church right now. That's why I'm talking about it right now. If I was going to be talking about it, I'd be saying, here's what I'm talking about, and here's the conflict. I would be hitting it straight up. But what I'm talking about is right now, I like to be on the front end of things. And so what I want to do is I want to get us tools in our hearts and lives to where when conflict appears or arises, we've got some tools to know what to happen. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says to do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Live in peace with everyone. Don't you just wish everybody did that? I just wish they'd do all that they could to live in peace with everyone. But just the way that came out of their mouth, they ought to know that that's not causing peace. Just the way they marched in here, you ought to know that didn't produce any peace. I mean, whatever it is, you can just always know that not everybody keeps this verse at the forefront of their thinking. And if you were to say when they walk in the room, hey, do all you can to live at peace with everyone, that's scripture. I'm telling you, Romans 12, 18, you're liable to get slapped. Because they don't want to have peace right now. They're frustrated. But the Bible says do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So that means when they walk in the room, do what you can to live at peace with them. Verse 19. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. The scriptures say, I'll take revenge. I'll pay him back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you'll reap burning holes of shame on their heads. I don't look for enemies. I don't know about you, but I feel like there's some people that's just looking for someone to be mad at. But I really believe if we're living at peace with everyone and we're doing all that we can to, we're not out looking for the next fight. We're not out looking for the next argument. We're not out looking for the next offense. The Bible says to not let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by getting mad. No. Conquer evil by doing good. Romans 12, verse 21. And then a verse that I'm just using as my model in what I'm talking about, Proverbs 13, 10. Where there is conflict, where there's strife, when there's turmoil, there is pride. Where there is conflict, there is pride. Wisdom is found by those who take advice. Now you would go, okay, where there's conflict, there's pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. How are those opposite of each other? Here's how. People that are in conflict, you can know that there's pride in the situation. And when there's pride in the situation, that means somebody's wanting it all their way. And when someone wants it all their way, they're not willing to take advice. So, if we're going to get to a place where we don't walk in conflict, we've got to put ourselves in a position where we're able to take advice. We're able to take advice and get pride out of there. Because pride creeps in. It just does. I mean, I'm right. If you don't believe me, ask me. That's just the way we think. I mean, I'm right. I'm right. I know I'm right. I didn't open my mouth thinking I was wrong. I knew I was right when I said it. And ask my wife. She'll tell you. I think that way. And I have to watch, because if I'm not careful, thinking that way gets me into conflict. And all of us really suffer from that if we were to be honest about it. I was going to do some leadership training with just our leadership here at the church on this topic. But I decided that this is more than just a leadership tool that's needed. This is a church tool that's needed. This is a tool that is needed for a Wednesday night study. A time where we can just kind of go, let's talk about this. Conflict in relationships is a reality. And I'll just take that and say it is no different in the church. Conflict in relationships, everybody know, is reality. Conflict in church relationships is a reality. And we all know that, and it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. I just talked to a pastor this week that said we just came out of this horrible, horrible situation. And they were just, this is in Oklahoma. It's a church that I used to really admire, appreciate. Everything is going, we just came through this horrible situation, but now God has really turned this around, and some of the people have, and he was telling me all about it, and I thought, you know, if we could avoid that on the front end, we won't ever have to say we just came through this horrible. I hate it when they say that. So why do I want to talk about this? Is because we have lost the ability as Christians to get through conflict. And I think we can blame it on a whole lot of different things. A whole lot of different things. Why have we lost the ability to get through conflict? Because we are the most prideful people that there has ever been. And it's something that we as Christians say, well, you need to be bold. You need to be, well, you've got to get to a place where you can recognize you can be bold and not proud. I talked about this here several weeks ago. Actually, it's probably several months ago. But we always make the comment how I am proud to be an American, or I am proud to be, or I'm proud of my boys, or I'm proud of my girls, and I'm just so proud of this person. And I understand what you're saying is I'm well pleased. But the devil and his qualities, pride is his big one. So I just think we need to be a little more careful about using that word. I'm not saying you don't need to be proud of your kids or proud of somebody who did something, but what you're really saying when you say that is I'm well pleased. I'm well pleased. Because I don't want to line myself up with the devil's attributes. Christ is meek. And he just has a different attitude than, you don't put the word proud on Christ. Boy, I'm so proud of what Christ did. I'm so pleased at what Christ did on my behalf. And I just think that we've kind of, in some ways, messed that word up. And so what we've got is we've got a lot of conflict because we look at pride almost always as a good thing when we're talking about it with other people, but it causes us to say we should be proud about what we've done. And there's nothing that we've done that puts us in right standing. It's all of what Jesus did. So last week, the causes of conflict. We talked about the causes of conflict. I just want to go on with a few more of those this week. The causes of conflicts in relationships. We talked about one. The first thing was spiritual issues. Conflicts arise because we want our own way. Well, when we want our own way, we're not dying to the flesh. I mean, we're just not. And so that's a spiritual issue. You've got to continually be able to put that flesh down, put that flesh down. Well, the way you do that is you spend time with the Lord. You spend time in His Word. The second cause of conflict is you get, that I talked about last week, with single issue people, getting caught up on one thing. They only will talk about one thing and one thing only. There's only one area. In the church, there's only one topic that they want preached. There's only one message that they want to talk about, and that's all it is. And so we get this whole idea of what we're communicating out of balance, because this is the friend that every time you're with them, they're on one subject. This one subject's all they can talk about. And you start talking about, well, I've been working on some things with my finances right now, and I'm trying to really get some time. Well, you're just not doing this enough. And they'll take another area of the Bible, and that's the only one they can talk about, is that one area. There's got to be a balance of Scripture. That this is the person who acts frustrated every time you're around them about the same thing. They're one topic, one topic, one topic. And that's all they can talk about. The third thing that we talked about last week is the divisive person. This is the person who their spiritual gift is creating conflict. They look for an opportunity for them to jump in the middle of a problem. And in every situation they're in, there's a problem. The good news is that these type of conflict-driven people are really in the minority. They're not. There's not a whole bunch of these people, I want you to know. The problem is they have way too much pride for anybody to be able to step in and help them. You try to talk to them, and they're not going to talk to you because they don't have the ability to talk. They're just going to be divisive. The fourth one, and this is new for tonight. I got those three last week. The fourth one, starting tonight, is the cause of conflict is hurt. This is tough. There are many good people who've had terrible things happen. And sometimes those things they had absolutely nothing to do with. Now we should minister to them and we should treat them with the finest care and love. But you need to always remember when you're dealing with someone hurt, don't be surprised if they're quick to hurt someone. I've seen this time and time and time again. Someone who is hurt can real quickly hurt someone else. And that wasn't maybe their intent, but they lashed out because of the pain they were in. I know that just when you're dealing with a hurt animal, you got to be very careful. You got to be very careful because a hurt animal can hurt you. A hurt person can hurt you. And I'm not calling them an animal. I'm just saying that pain overrides their ability to operate in wisdom sometimes. So, people that are hurt will not only hurt others, they'll continue to hurt themselves and they'll make bad decisions that just continue to hurt. Well, what do you do in those situations? Well, we're going to get through some more of the how we address this, but I really need to get through all the things that have to do with what causes the conflict in the first place. The fifth one tonight is the political person. Now, I'm not talking about political in the sense of running for an office. I'm talking about those who want power, they want authority, they want position, they want rights, they want the perks, they want to make sure that they're the ones that's influencing, they are the one who everybody is looking to. And in the church, you need to understand something. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the head. Now, you've got everybody else under Jesus. And hopefully you have a pastor who's willing to hear from Jesus. In any church you're in or any situation you're in. And if you're listening to this on podcast tonight, you're not the one to tell the pastor whether or not you can watch and see the fruit. I don't know if that's a good idea. Give it some time. Give it a couple years and see if that was fruitful. Or hear the pastor come back and say, that was really not a good idea. I should have never done that. And love him through it. Come on, I thank you that you've done that for me. Because there's been some bad decisions, some bad things, obviously, that I've done. But with that, in church, you got to know that Jesus is the head. And our goal and our heart is to always to listen to him. Political people most likely will end up dropping their positions. And someone sincere. Did I just lose my mic? No. Someone sincere, someone servant-minded will eventually fill the void. I want to be careful with my words here. If someone you believe is in a position that's there because they're political, or they're trying to just be somebody, and they're leading people in the church, you need to know that you don't have to worry about it. God will take care of that. I've watched it in churches all across the country. Someone would come, here's what I found out, here's what I know, here's what I'm seeing, here's what they're doing. You just pray that God will have his way in that situation and God will take care of it. God will take care of it. I've seen it time and time again. However, there are political people and they do oftentimes cause conflict. The sixth and the last one, cause of conflict, is just poor judgment. Just poor judgment. People cause conflict because they have poor judgment. Sometimes people will fail to acknowledge that there's a problem. Have you ever seen that? there's a major problem and everybody can see it. You act like everything's fine, everything's fine. No, it's not fine. But this person just fails to acknowledge that there's a problem. It's poor judgment. They're not really seeing there's a major problem and there's poor judgment here. Sometimes a person makes a mistake of knowing there's a problem and their poor judgment causes them to withdraw. Hear me today. When you withdraw and act like there is not a problem and there is a problem and you just withdraw and, well, I kind of know there are problems, but I don't really want to know about them. I know I probably, but I don't really know what, I don't know what happened and I don't want to know. You'll hear people say, don't even talk to me about that. I don't want to know. That's not going to get us through a problem. That's just going to add conflict. So but that person just uses poor judgment. They didn't think about it. Another reason we have poor judgment is we spiritualize everything. Now, I'm not trying to put down anything scriptural because I believe that all scripture is very useful for our life. But the solution to everything is not praying and fasting. Ooh, really? No, it's the start. You pray and fast, and you hear from God, and then you have work to do. But a lot of people just say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and that's all they ever do, and they've spiritualized something that's a conflict, and we need to address the conflict. We need to address the problem and move forward. So pray and fast for a season, but then you need to get the answer from God, and then you need to get to work and get something done. You are the hands and feet. Come on, we got to get some work done. We got to do something to get through this. We can't just leave this on the table forever and everybody's frustrated about it. Some use wrong judgment when conflict arises, and they use this he said, she said syndrome. And that's what I'll call that, the he said, she said syndrome. They're always blaming somebody else for the conflict instead of ever considering that they could have some issues in this process. Some of this could be on my shoulders. The Adam and Eve syndrome, maybe you call it that. She did it. Oh, he did it because he. Come on. Who? I know it was Eve's fault. And Eve's going, it was Adam's fault. It was Satan's fault. It just can't be mine. And that's where we all find ourselves. And know this, if you're never willing to examine yourself, then you put yourself in a position of causing God to have to. Whew. You might just want to look at yourself. Next one, another bad response to conflict is the desire to win the conflict at any cost. This is the person who can never say the words, I was wrong. I was, it's just they can't get that. I almost messed up. How do you almost mess up? I was wrong. It's amazing how we get bent out of shape oftentimes about things, and we can't just say, hey, you know what? I don't have to win this battle. I don't have to even make this a battle. I mean, we argue about things and there's conflict about things that I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, it won't matter. That's a great tool. My mama taught me that tool. She would say that a lot. She goes, now, because my brother was wrong a lot. And I would tell him, and he never received my wisdom. And so we would be in an all-out conflict. And mom would come down and get in the middle of it. And dad would say, let him fight it out. Sometimes I liked mom getting in there because my brother was kind of big. And so mom would come in and go, boys, you need to pray about this. You ever been really mad and someone says, you need to pray about this? It's like, I don't even know who God is. You can't think when you're that mad, let alone pray. But mom would come down and said, is this really going to matter when we get to heaven? Probably not, but I'm not in heaven right now. I'm right here. Right. But if we could kind of back away and think about it. I mean, is it really going to matter who's got mom's silverware and who's got dad's tire collection? tie collection. That's entire tie. If we're not careful, we slip into this gladiator mindset. Take me on. And we just, it's like, oh, I can't argue with them now. And you're not going to get through a conflict that way. The idea of just giving in is another big conflict builder. Never voicing a different concern. Never, what do you want to do? Oh, I don't care. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Wherever you want. And so it's one of those things that you never have an input. And because you never have an input, you're causing a lot of conflict. Just never have an input. I mean, I don't have a voice. I don't really. The problem is no one knows where you stand. They never know if you're on something that they need to back off. I mean, they never know. It's you just can't live life doing that. You got to acknowledge that you have a weakness in making a decision. I know that it's hard to make one, but just make one. Everybody will live with it. It's okay. Just make a decision. Just make a decision. And then stick with it. Well, I thought we wanted to do that, but I don't know. Everybody else doesn't really want to, and I'll just change them. No, this is what we're, this is where we're, this is what we're doing. The next one, I got two more. Entitlement. Entitlement. These are all under the poor judgment. Entitlement. Are we not in an entitlement generation? I mean, at an all-time high, everybody thinks they're entitled to something. That is do me. That you can call it selfishness if you want, but we have created this. Parents, you're creating this with your kids. Are you kidding me? What are you doing? You talk about everybody else. Don't talk to me. That the conflict for your child is going to enter their life very quickly. You know why? Because you're entitling them. You're not doing your kids a favor when you make everything about them. What do you want to do? I don't really care what they want to do. This is what we're doing. You come with me. But we've got this thing where we're always entitling our kids to make the decisions that are adult decisions. And so you invite conflict into your child's life when they go to school. Because at school, not everything's about them. And I can tell you there are parents that think school ought to be all about my little precious. Don't even look and help another kid. Mine's the only one that matters. Entitlement. You think you're helping your child, and what you're doing is you're setting up for them a life full of conflict. Not everything in life's going to be about them. And when they decide to go ahead and try to make a decision in life, and they do it, and everybody else kind of goes, I don't really want to do that. They don't have an ability to go and do anything but say, but everybody needs to listen to me. And next thing you know, they don't have a job. And you're, come back home, baby, it's okay. And they're living with you and they're 53. I'm not kidding. Another wrong response that we get on and the other side of conflict is trying to meet the demands of those who are oftentimes creating the conflict, and we add to it. We're just going to meet their demands. Don't confuse winning them to God. I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm just trying to win them to God by then giving in to certain demands so that they get their way. Ask what your words are doing. Is this going to produce in the end? Christians, I believe that you need to love at all times. I believe that. But Christians love coming from your needs for resolution isn't love. When you're loving just because you want to get through to the other side of this, you're allowing manipulation to take place. And that manipulation won't further the kingdom of God. They need to know God said it's this way, and this is what he said, and you can either do it or not. But if you want to get to heaven, there's one way. And that's Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by God. And so you can say, I want a lot. Here's what I think. I don't really care what you think. Really? That's not very. But see, what's happened is Christians have given so much voice to what everybody thinks and not enough voice and not enough ear to the Word. They're giving everybody to say what they think. And then we got churches who are trying to change what the Word of God says. And know this, the Word of God does not change. It is the same. All right, I want to get into just this first next part, and then we'll finish it here in a couple of weeks. But the stages of a sliding conflict or a relationship that's sliding, it's not moving correctly, it's kind of sliding off course. And so we've got this relationship that's sliding off course. We've got all the causes of what causes the conflict, and there may be some more, but these were a lot of them that I had kind of looked up, I'd studied a lot about, and I thought these were good for us to know. These are things that cause conflict. And if you're operating in one of those, just change it. Well, Pastor, that's real easy. With the blood of Jesus, it's real easy. You just need to put that under the blood. So then when we got to a place where we got this sliding relationship conflict, there's a bunch of stages. And if we don't get it fixed on the front stage, if we're starting to see a conflict and you don't get it in this first one, this second one, it gets a whole lot harder to get fixed. And then the third one, as it slides into that, gets a whole lot harder. And then the fourth one, it's like, oh, where are we going to go now? Let's just talk about the first one tonight. The first one is the remedy stage. When there is a conflict, we want to get it resolved. The cry of this stage for both people is, let's fix this. Let's get this fixed. In a marriage, when you start seeing that we're sliding, come on, everybody married had a slide. You know, oh, I can see it sliding. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because I don't agree with her. She's wrong. And she's going, I don't agree with him. He's wrong. And here's what happens. The characteristics of this stage are in this process. First, both recognizes there's a problem. And it can just be one statement made, and you're like, uh-oh. I've been there. Uh-oh. Well, I was just thinking about everybody coming over, and then I see the look. Uh-oh. Did you tell anybody yet? Are you going to help clean? Are you going to? Come on, every guy's been right there. I just think about everybody. I recognize there's a problem. Now, the second thing is, there could be a disagreement on how to solve it. That won't be any big deal. You just clean it all up. You ain't got nothing to do. See, that wouldn't be something she would agree with. She got plenty to do. I'm just using my own life example. You just watch me, though. Don't look at her. There's a disagreement on how we're going to solve this problem. And so what we do is we get to the place where we say, all right, here's the thing. We've got to come to a resolution. We've got to be committed to solve this problem. So that's the third thing, a commitment to solve it. You get a disagreement on how you're going to solve it, but then you get committed to solve it. The fourth one is a believe it can be solved, a sense of hope, a sense of optimism. Okay, well, here's what we could do. And you start brainstorming decisions, and you're like, we're getting somewhere. I'm optimistic now. And that's the fourth stage, and you got to get some optimism or you don't have any desire. So you get that, and then the fifth one, honest communication. Honest communication, hoping that through our talking, through getting this thing moving, the conflict can be solved. This is where the conflict is either solved through that honest communication or it slides down into a second stage. Ooh, and this one's a tough one. This one's called the repositioning stage, and we'll talk about that in a couple weeks.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.